The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
We also have to think about the children, and particularly, well, young children, but I think teenagers have really, really had a really, really tough time for so many reasons. Talk about the pressure of the exams, the fact that they can't obviously socialise the way teenagers would and play a lot of sport and develop their sporting acumen and work part-time as well, you know, in bars and restaurants, bringing in a lot of much-needed cash maybe to a family home and not learning all about that. And then on top of that, when you have a situation where you're trying to homeschool your children, or if they're teenagers, they're trying to connect with their classmates and they don't have the technology, whether that is that they're living in a part of Ireland where broadband is deplorable, or whether they're from a family background that just does not have the money or the cash to upgrade or buy a device that they can actually connect with the classes. And you can just imagine how demoralising that is for these pupils. Thomas Usher is principal of Larkin Community College on Cottle Brewer Street in the middle of Dublin City. Thomas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Damien. How are you?
I'm very good. Yeah, yeah. By the way, how are you feeling about the... do you think there's a bit of a clearer roadmap now to the reopening of schools? What's your interpretation of it as a you're a secondary school principal, am I right?
Secondary school, yeah, look, I think the...
What are you hearing? Like, for parents out there now, what's the roadmap? Because, we're hearing the 1st of March, so what do you know?
We're hearing the exact same as you are, Damien, and the parents are hearing. And what we're saying at the moment is, you know, if you listen to the sound bites, the schools will reopen for the sixth-year students on the 1st of March.
Right, the sixth years on the 1st of March, right?
And then 2 to 3 weeks after that, on a phased basis, you would hope that the rest of the schools would open.
The rest of the in secondary. So you're talking after St. Patrick's Day then?
Possibly.
All right, okay. For the rest of secondary school?
Yeah.
And will that be phased in, as far as you know?
You'd imagine it'd be phased. Like, you know, we look back on the last lockdown and you look at the schools were a safe place to be. You know, in our school, we would have had 2 confirmed cases of COVID from the students. So the systems within the school works.
Yeah.
However, it's the mobilisation of a million students that potentially causes the risk. So therefore, you know, and the department are saying, I think, very clearly that you are looking, they're taking it slow, they're taking precautions, and you are looking at a phased return to school.
Right. So it could be then over a period of 3 or 4 weeks after St. Patrick's Day that maybe the second years and fourth years or whatever will get back.
I would imagine so, Damien.
Yeah, bring
them in. You're talking... You know, students need to get back into school. The impact that not being in school, nothing beats face-to-face contact. Mm. And what we're trying to do online, it's not good for students, it's not good for staff. And, you know, the sooner we get back, I think, the better.
So, in terms of learning online, how effective has that been, we'll say, since Christmas? I know if you go back over the last 12 months, from March to June or March to the end of May, there was no school. And then we're back in September to December, fairly okay. Now we're back out again for the first quarter of the year. And sure, they'll only be back a few weeks and then the summer holidays will happen. So have they actually, even the most diligent student online, are they still losing out a lot by not being in class?
Yeah, look, I think we're all very aware of the fact that the best schooling is done face-to-face. And when we look back over the last year, the number of students that we would have given devices to the last time, which we stripped the school of desktop computers during the last lockdown, and I think we gave out about 70 devices to students. This time, because we were back from September to Christmas, we were able to prepare the students in relation to the use of Teams, the Microsoft platform. And from that, you know, once we went into shutdown this time or into lockdown this time, we were able to get devices back out to students again. We pushed it out this time in the fact that it was laptops we were looking for rather than desktops, because we were doing live classes this time rather than putting work up like we'd done the last time. So the need for the laptops proved to be a major, major concern for us. And we've been very fortunate in the fact that the tech to students came online with us. And also some individuals who we put a call out to were very, very supportive to us as well.
Mm. This has been this Tech to Students initiative. I know RTE are involved in it, but there is, where you are there, Would you be more in need of this because you're in a deprived area?
Well, look, I think we're in the city centre. We all are aware of the fact of the number of homeless students that are living in Dublin 1. We're aware of the fact that, you know, when we did a survey, 38% of our students are using phones to complete their work. Lots of them don't have laptops even after the 38%. You know, they would have the tablets and so on. But the level of need for the students is quite significant. And Tech2, they came to us last year and they gave us 40 laptops. They've come back this year and they've given another 10. And Camera Ireland has given us 6. So that had 56 laptops that we could deliver to our students this year, which has improved the engagement of the students significantly, you know.
Yeah, and we'll give details a little bit later on. You might be able to give us details. For anybody listening, they can get involved. If you have an old laptop or you have a few bob that you can give to the scheme. But tell me about Paul Brereton.
Paul Brereton, really, really good friend of the school, had a discussion with one of our teachers going back about 3 years ago in relation to the needs of a school like ours. Paul arrived at the doorstep of the school and said, "I want to help." And when somebody comes like that, you think, okay, right, we'll see what we can do here. I spoke with Paul before Christmas in relation to the need for laptops again. And Paul put a call out to his friends and through the Irish Antique Association. And within 24 hours, I think we had 60 laptops. And the joy of it was that people were pledging laptops and pledging money. So it was purchased outside the school and the laptops were donated directly to the school rather than us having to purchase them.
Yeah, we put details up because on Post ESB, NUI Galway Access Centre, Rethink Ireland and RT are involved in this initiative. And the hope, I think, is to raise €1 million or the equivalent to buy 5,000 laptops. To try. Now, by the time we get all this, hopefully we won't need them, if you know what I mean.
but I think, Damien, education has moved on so significantly in the last year in relation to how we deliver, that this is going to be an ongoing issue.
Right, so this is a legacy of COVID, more and more of this digital sort of schooling?
Yes, by all means, yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll put details up on our website. I just want to get back to how young people are coping, Thomas. And I know you care an awful lot for the well-being of your students, as do principals all the time and teachers. But we had the Children's Ombudsman in the programme last week talking about his particular concerns for vulnerable children. Are these children in your school that you would have particular worries about during this pandemic? You know, are there children that you really are concerned about the effects of the pandemic, that what it's having on them?
Look, and I think if we go back to Niall Muldoon last week, he spoke about a survey that was done in Wales, where he spoke about loneliness is the biggest cause of stress for teenagers. And, you know, we know that the connections that students have in school is the safest way to protect your mental health. In our school, we've 400 students. This year, our student support team would have dealt with 129 students on an individual basis. We currently are dealing with 80 students in relation to their care needs. And, you know, we had a recent tragedy within the school which has brought 35 students into our care team as well. So dealing with mental health, dealing with the well-being of the students is actually our biggest concern at the moment, and it's something that we really, really need to concentrate on. When we meet on a weekly basis, whether it's counselling, whether it's referring to the services outside, whether it's CAMHS, whether it's Pieta House, whether it is primary care, the numbers are increasing at a significant rate. And my time as principal, I've never seen the level of need for well-being and mental care as what I've seen over the last year.
And are those services, are they adequately staffed at this point in time? Is it difficult to find referral services for vulnerable teenagers or teenagers that are suffering with mental health issues?
It is, you know, and again, I think when you look at the budget that goes for mental health and the amount that is given to looking after teenagers, it's a very, very small amount. And yet we're very aware of the fact that adults that present with mental health issues, the majority of them have shown signs in adolescents which haven't been addressed. So I would say the services are not there and not sufficient at the moment, and it's something that really needs to be built up on.
And do you find that students are they willing to reach out to their teachers, especially if they can't reach out to somebody at home, Thomas?
I think, you know, the issue, when we have students in school and when you're walking along a corridor and you see a student and you think, okay, there's something wrong with it, but the student is there, the student's not in the best of form, you can put an intervention in place there to support and to do the quick fixes, which teachers are doing all over the country. The issue that we have when it's online, you're not sure of the situation in which the student is working on online on, and therefore it's not a safe place for some of them. It's not a secure place. It's not a private place. So very often you have situations where, you know, we know the number of child protection referrals have decreased by 40% since COVID. You don't have the same level of interaction, so therefore you're not picking up on the same level of need that we would have picked up in the past.
I just want to go back to the return to school, Thomas. You're saying, you know, we need to get back, but am I not getting mixed messages here? Because you remember before Christmas, there was a lot of talk, well, there's a lot of cases in schools and they're not being talked about, and, you know, the teachers are not being told, and they're told, the principals are saying, you know, don't worry about it, da-da-da-da-da. Like, would it be fair for me to say on the radio now that every teacher in the country is mad to get back to school in the current climate?
No, I think I can speak for my own staff.
Yeah.
And I can speak for my own school. And I know for a fact that, yeah, we had two cases between September and Christmas. One of them was a student, he was contagious while he was in school, and yet we had no transfer within the school. So it just showed that the system the school put in place worked. Mm. However, it's when you step outside the gate that, you know, and you know, a million people that are mobilised as such, that's where the issues are. The schools themselves are safe. We would have had no staff with confirmed cases during that time. And, you know, the Department of Education put guidelines in place. We put a COVID plan in place. And the COVID plan, it stood up against the rigours of the system that we're dealing with.
Oh, I suppose, look at it, it's like everything else. It varies from school to school, from pupil to pupil, from parent to parent, from teacher to teacher on the views on what's the right thing to do and what's not. But sure, I suppose in our heart of hearts, we're all trying to do what we think is the right thing.
And that's it.
Yeah. And Thomas, listen, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and the very best of luck to you. And it sounds as if you're doing an awful lot there for the most vulnerable of children in the inner city there. And our hearts go out to those that, you know, are really suffering at this time. But look, if you're listening to us, teachers are there and there is help there. Reach out and get the support that you need, because it is absolutely there. Particularly, that's what teachers in some, well, principals, I suppose, in some cases are for, and that as a support network. And we will put details up of the Tech to Students initiative, which listeners can actually contribute to. So if you can at all, if you've an old laptop that's less than 5 years old, or you have a few bob that you could donate, think about the great difference that it makes to young students who just don't have the wherewithal, or don't have the money, or don't have the support to be able to get themselves properly tech equipped to learn online. So, Thomas, thank you very much indeed.
No problem, Damien. Really appreciate it.
All right. So it's on our website there. You can go and find out a few more details, or just Google Tech to Support. That's Thomas Usher there, who's the principal of Larkin Community College, Cahill Brewer Street in Dublin. Thanks indeed to Thomas for that.